So hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Justin and Lizzie here from Third Space, and we are here for another week of our unfolding many hundreds of weeks now, turning towards life conversation. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Lizzie. Thank you for doing this with me today and for bringing such an excellent and beautiful source for us to begin our conversation from. And welcome, everyone, wherever you are in the world, whether you're with us in our Facebook group or on a podcast or on YouTube or any of the many places that you can find us. We are so, so glad that you found us. And here we are.
Thank you, Justin. As you were beginning, I was just thinking of all of the, you know, the range of sources that we have. And this particular source came to me through one of our wonderful community members, Ava. And I want to thank Ava for bringing this to us, who I think is a friend of Tom, the poet. And I did this thing, which I normally do when someone mentions a poet, I go down the rabbit hole of their poetry, and it was a delight. So if you get to look at Tom's Instagram feed or his website or anything, it's a true joy to receive all of his work. And this is just a small poem in amongst lots of other lovely bigger ones and longer ones and different ones. And I feel so glad that people dedicate their lives to this kind of art, particularly reading all of the things that Tom has created and seeing all of the imagery and the artistry of it. It's very, very beautiful. And thank you, Ava, for mentioning this on one of our alumni channels, where I often go to see what's happening and pick up poems and references. And this beautiful one, I was led to it through something Ava said. So I'm very grateful for that. And hello, Ava, if you're listening, because I know that you sometimes listen to us. So this poem is called In the Meantime by Tom Hirons, and it goes like this. Meanwhile, flowers still bloom. The moon rises and the sun. Babies smile, and somewhere against all the odds, two people are falling in love. Strangers share cigarettes and jokes. Light plays on the surface of water. Grace occurs on unlikely streets, and we hold each other fast against entropy and the struggles of our time. Life leans towards living, and while death claims all things at the end, there were such precious times between in which everything was radiant and we loved again this world.
Thank you, Lizzie. Gosh, listening to you, I'm feeling very grateful for Ava's connection and for Tom's work and for your reading. And I'm going to read it too. Meanwhile, flowers still bloom, the moon rises and the sun. Babies smile, and somewhere, against all the odds, two people are falling in love. Strangers share cigarettes and jokes. Light plays on the surface of water. Grace occurs on unlikely streets, and we hold each other fast against entropy and the struggles of our time. Life leans towards living, and while death claims all things at the end, there were such precious times between in which everything was radiant and we loved again this world.
Thank you, Justin. So I think as I was reading through all of Tom's work, this poem leapt out at me because I don't think I can resist the pieces of art that depict and remind me of and show me joy. There is such a compelling something for me about these noticings, these reminders of what's here, the radiance, and the fact that we can love again, and how unlikely falling in love is. And all of this grace occurring on unlikely streets seems like a profound staple of being that I certainly feel profoundly committed to and absolutely relieved when I get reminded of it again. I'm so grateful that people write it down and don't just let it pass. You know, whatever gave birth to this, that this recognition of the meanwhile, the flowers still blooming. Because it's so easy, isn't it, to focus on the struggles of our time. It'd be so easy for me to get lost in the problems or lost in the issues and the dramas and the complexity and the tragedy and the completely unfixable issues that we find ourselves in. I could drown so easily in them. And I want to pay attention to them and I want to stay open to them. And I don't want to become part of the problem by being put to sleep by them. I want to stay awake and I want to stay aware of all of the spectrum of human life, not just the ones that feel like they draw me in really closely and get hold of me and keep me obsessing about them. So I really want to keep my eyes open to all of this that Tom talks about and to be in life with this right here with me, remembering the moon rises and the sun rises and that this life leaning towards living thing. It's all right here at the same time. And it deserves, absolutely deserves, and is calling for our attention as well as all the other things that call.
I was just imagining, I was thinking about, as you were talking, I was thinking about the way for most of us, I suppose, what happens is our lives that we're living reach us through our senses immediately, who we're with and where we are. And then the world beyond our immediate experience reaches us through various kinds of media, whether it's the news in some printed form or on the radio or on the TV or more likely through social media or something else for many of us. And I was imagining somebody reading the news and including all the things that there are for us to be concerned about, which is what the news leads on. I think mostly because it grabs our attention, as well as, like you're saying, being important, the things that there are for us to be concerned about. So the first thing that was happening whilst you were speaking, Lizzie, is I was imagining the 3 o'clock news in the afternoon ending, meanwhile flowers still bloom. And the moon rises and the sun and babies smile somewhere against all and against somewhere against all the odds, two people are falling in love. What it would be to be reminded in the middle of whatever else we're reading that this is still true, and it's absent, it's notably absent. And like you said, it's so important. It's no less part of the world than anything else. And in fact, earlier today, I arrived at the pond where I love to swim, and I climbed over the fence that goes, and there's a sort of grass meadow that goes down to the pond. As I walked down through the meadow, having with this poem with me, I could feel this twin sense of, yes, there's lots to worry about. And actually quite a lot of what there is to worry about, not all of it, but quite a lot of it is actually out of my hands. I can't actually change a lot of it. Some parts of it, all of us can change, but big parts of it, we can't. But I worry about it all the same. And I could feel myself, with Tom's invitation, letting myself delight in the beauty of this meadow and the pond beyond and the people who were there, friends and couples and families and, you know, all kinds of people who were around. Letting myself fall into this invitation of feeling that this was here too, and it's here right now. We don't know, like Tom writes, well, we do know that all of that ends. We know that for sure, but what we also know is it's here right now. And it was felt so important, exactly as you're saying, to remember that of the truth that is immediate, that of the truth that comes to me through my senses, that which is right here, and not to imagine that the only things that are true is sort of everything other than what's here. what's here is as true. And what you were saying before, Lizzie, reminded me that this is really about who we become. Like, what kind of person do I become when I am attending to this and when I'm not? And also, on a bigger scale, what kind of world are we making together when we each attend to this and also talk about it with one another and say to one another, meanwhile, flowers still bloom and the moon rises and the sun. And against all the odds, people are falling in love.
Mm.
And this is how we make a world. Maybe this is why our voices are coming to each other, and our voices are speaking out into the world to everyone who's with us and everyone who's listening, because it's important to tell this story.
Mm. Oh, that was so moving hearing you describe the 3 o'clock news having this at the end of it. Mm-hmm. I think you just kind of articulated this huge, big, I guess it's a piece of grief that I have, that I can kind of observe what happens when I and other people near me watch the news. It's like we become so narrow and frightened and fearful and worried and kind of recycling it all. I mean, so much news is said again and again and again and again and again, which I find really troubling. And of course, there are updates, but many things are just repetition. Many, many things are repetition in our media. And what gets repeated versus, like, many, many times versus what gets completely entirely left out is really quite alarming, given who we are as beings and what it is that we need to feel nurtured and sustained and in hope. And I'm really up for being in contact with what's happening and the reality of happenings in the world. But when you said about this way that we absorb in our immediate surroundings through our senses what's actually happening, if you think about all of the eons in which that was all we were really receiving, and then technology and the way that we consume media and everything in the last, I don't know, I mean, I'm 42, and if I look at my small lifetime, the changes that have taken place in my reality of, you know, having a mobile phone that with really big buttons and I had to pull the aerial out and I only turned it on when I needed to use it. And, you know, that was my, and I remember getting the internet and the thing going, and had somebody having to put the phone down before you could use the internet thing, you know, and now it's just here. It's just, you know, like so present. It's all happened so fast, and our beings, our bodies are like playing catch up. It's such a huge, big sensory experience to be in the quantity and the kind of quality of it as well. And then this being missed out in all of that there's no part that, I mean, the thought for the day on Radio 4, which is like, oh, this is a bit I like listening to. I'll listen to this bit. That's how I feel about that. It's like, thank goodness that nugget's in there. And I feel so pleased that this is here, and also quite a lot of grief that it's not easily findable. You know, that this kind of art, this important recognition of joy and radiance and love, is literally nowhere forefront in our mainstream reception of what gets told to us, what gets brought to us, what gets delivered to us. And it's so important. I can feel it in my being, the kind of the magnitude of remembering that against all odds, two people are falling in love. Of course they are. Like, that is what happens. Even when it feels impossible, those ones, those times, we find people, we find new friends, or we find a person to love romantically, or some serendipitousness happens about work. Like, the world is filled with connections. It's absolutely filled with them. And it's so easy to become so little and so afraid and so narrow in our thinking. And so I feel this rededication to noticing today. And many times this is what we're talking about, Justin, in turning towards life, is in that very sentence, turning towards life, turning towards the flowers as I walk around the streets and actually smelling the roses and seeing where flowers have made their way through the concrete in a pavement, or noticing the sound of laughter or a bird singing or how a tomato's grown. Just being present to those, to that inner circle that you were saying of what's my sensory experience now? How many times a day can I recommit to that sensory experience of being me? And also not overload my system with a heavily weighted towards things beyond my immediate sensory natural experience that I would ordinarily be having.
Gosh, are you talking about technology and its impact on us? I suspect we hardly know how much it's changed us, because it's really hard to feel when we're in the midst of being changed in that way. And there's, there are so many different sort of processes at work here. There's the sort of overarching cultural narrative of busyness, that to be busy is to be a person is to be busy and performing and producing and always doing something rather than noticing or paying attention or appreciating or receiving or welcoming or being present in the midst of something, which is all the things that Tom's words invite us into, is the being present right in the middle of the unfolding mystery and beauty that's right in the middle. Meanwhile, in the midst of everything, so busyness carries us away from that, and the technology adds to our busyness, because it, particularly the way it's been, the handheld technology, mobile devices that we have, how they're built to grab our attention when our attention could be somewhere else, it's being grabbed. And that's why, one of the reasons why news is repetitive, it's the same thing. Why am I hearing the same thing 20 times a day as if it were new? Because that will grab my attention and pull me in. So our attention is being pulled all the time. And then we've got the big cultural narrative that we've been talking about, Lizzie, I know, in the sort of, in our work, in the way that we teach coaching and do coaching. Many of us have been in this conversation about the main story that we're encouraged to live in at the moment is that the world is on fire. And in some ways that's true, and there are really important things for us to call to attend to, but to feel like we have to live only in the world that's on fire all the time is to have alarmed bodies. And then to have our alarm fed all the time. That's what I notice happens with me is, oh, alarm, 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 alarm. It's either alarm or distraction.
Yeah.
Alarm or distraction, alarm or distraction. And then the other one that I've been really thinking about a lot recently, and it's kind of more pernicious and harder to see, is in the last, I think particularly in the last century or so, but it's been growing for a long time, we've been taught to disregard and not trust our own senses. You know, how many times I know I hear from sort of listening to things on the radio, people coming on usually being given the sort of same, what's the word, respect and reverence that priests might have held in a previous age, but they'll usually be neuroscientists, and they'll say things like, the whole world we're experiencing is an illusion. There is no real world. It's all made up in our heads. We can't trust our senses. But there's a sort of background, and you have to break with all of those to be able to go, right here, right now, I'm in the world. And the world is living and breathing and blooming and flowing and opening and all the things that Tom says, and it's radiant. None of those narratives give us any space for that. And so it's sort of no wonder also to me that voices like this are marginal. Like, it would be really easy to be really cynical about this and to go, oh, let's talk about the important stuff, the hard stuff. And so I can feel in me the grief that you're talking about. I can also feel in me the sort of the feeling of hope that we might also, it's so life-giving to pay attention to this. It also doesn't take very much beginning to notice, beginning to pay attention, to go, maybe this is the reason why we ought to take really deep care of one another and deep care of the world, not because we're terrified and running and distracting ourselves or getting busy all the time, but because it is extraordinary that everything is radiant and that we can love the world.
Mm.
Maybe to love the world as our primary commitment might have us appreciate what's here in this brief time, but also have us find ways to be less despairing and less reactionary and less, like, it seems to me it's very paying attention this way serves both the experience of our lives, but also how we might attend to our lives and how we might take care in a way that sometimes feels so far from what's possible for us, when we're being told all the time that right now the story is we're all doomed and there is no future. That story, which leaves us bereft, just bereft and panicking.
God, you're talking, I'm noticing this rising thing of realizing all the ways I love the world. I really love the world. I love that bodies exist. I love that we can touch one another and feel held by another human being's arms. I love that trees are the shape that they are and the roots go down really, really far and really, really wide, and that the physics of that is such that the tree holds itself up because of its root system, and that the top, what's above the earth, is in relationship to the bottom of the earth in all kinds of different ways. I love the fact that the bin men come on a Monday morning and we wave to them and we're in relationship, and there's people doing extraordinarily excellent things in the world like that. I love the color of blue of sky and what clouds look like. I mean, I can just feel all the, I love that we have parties. I love that human beings gather with each other and move their bodies to the sound of music. I love that picnic blankets exist, but I can feel it all here. There's so many things to love. And those are the things that are frivolously just appearing right now, but like, what an inquiry to stay in. Like, what if we were asking ourselves that question more? Like, what do I love about the world? And then it grows, it has the potential to grow into, well, if I love it this much, what am I going to do about that? What am I going to do to nurture it, to respect it, to be in relationship with it in a way that safeguards it? That's really different than like being afraid and freezing and panicking and watching more news. Yeah. So I'm just feeling this kind of eruption of, I think that is part of my life. It's like, I'm a world lover. Like, I love that the world is the way that it is in lots and lots and lots of different ways. And that's not separate from loving being, loving humanness, loving this profound and complex situation we're in, of having a body and a world each. And there's like trillions of us. And we're not arbitrarily wandering around randomly. Each of us has this entire experiential world full of ancestry and work and talent and gift and shadow and wounds and relationships and troubles and wonders and creativity. It's like, there is so much to love. And I feel like completely, like, joy has been shoved into me by being in this conversation like this.
There is so much to love. And what I'm feeling as you're talking about this, as you started to list, just started to list some everyday things to love about being here and about being in the world. And particularly, Lizzie, when you talked about it's such a profound and extraordinary thing to say and to see that each of us carries an entire world with us. That yeah. Our worlds are shared and unique. And I'm feeling myself reminded, and I want to be one who reminds not just by myself, but reminds others of this. Like, can we, what is it to teach one another how beautiful the world is?
Mm.
To teach one another other places to stand other than fear.
Mm.
To teach one another other places to stand other than frantic scrabbling.
Mm.
And I was thinking it was something you said earlier when you were talking again about people finding one another and about touch and about, I was thinking, and it's so hard for all of that, all of our appreciation for one another to happen when we're in a panic and in a hurry, for us to slow down enough
mm.
to be here with the world. Mm. And then I got imagining, what would it be like? And I know that there are places that do this, but it's not in the center of our culture. What would happen is if we were taught this from the moment we were born and all the way through every educational, every learning setting experience we had, there were people to remind us that it's our call to really see how beautiful the world is. Instead of being told at every moment in time, you should be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are not good enough, the world will reject you.
Mm.
Which is the same place, that comes from the same place as there being afraid all the time. Like, you imagine what world we would make if we all attended to that and could feel it.
Mm.
How we would look after the neighborhoods in which we live, and how we would look after the other living beings that are non-human that are around us, and how we would take care of one another
mm.
if we were coming from there. And the most amazing thing for me as I'm saying it is, it's so obvious that that's the case. It is so unlikely that there would be anything. And yet here we are, sentient, feeling, relating, yeah. attending, imaginative beings to whom things matter, and where we can create things and make things and love and fear and grieve and touch. And how was it that we forgot that that's the center of everything? That's mm. where it starts. And yes, we have all of our difficulties in the middle of it, but they're in the middle. It's the, we've got it back to front, where the ground of everything gets marginalized, so we're not paying attention to it and even imagining that it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Justin, I just have the urge to read this poem again with this feeling of love in our hearts. So here we go. Meanwhile, flowers still bloom. The moon rises and the sun. Babies smile. And somewhere against all the odds, two people are falling in love. Strangers share cigarettes and jokes. Light plays on the surface of water. Grace occurs on unlikely streets. And we hold each other fast against entropy and the struggles of our time. Life leans towards living. And while death claims all things at the end, there were such precious times between, in which everything was radiant and we loved again this world. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Tom Hirons. Thank you for everybody being here with us. And may we move forward with this in our hearts and see what our days become, because this seed of wonderfulness has been planted by Tom, and that we've taken it and grown it into a conversation. Thank you so much, Justin, for being able to be in the vulnerability of joy as well as the difficulties. It's really beautiful. And we will see you all again next week with a source that Justin's going to be choosing. And thank you so much. And just remember, you can always send our website on to people if you think it would be useful for people. We keep hearing that it's really helpful to lots of different people in different situations. So please forward this on as a link. You can go to turningtowards.life if you want to send a website, and you could also forward any of the podcasts, or you can tell people about the Facebook group. People can search for us on Facebook just by typing in Turning Towards Life in the search bar. And you can always email us, both of us, hello@turningtowards.life, or Lizzie or Justin @turningtowards.life. We'd love to hear from you. So thank you so much, and thank you, Justin. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Lizzie.